We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Summer league time. You excited?
Best part of the season. Best part of the year. You know what I mean? This is when you can dream, Samuel.
We know Joey Lightyears prefers this to the NBA Finals.
I was, somebody said that Kirk Lacob was actually in his seat the entire time. What? Not just for the Warriors game, but for every single game that was in the California Classic. Meanwhile, Bob Myers was buying popcorn and getting some beer. So, you know, that's the real GM, Sam. He is locked in.
The shadow GM.
Kirk don't miss, baby. Friend of the show.
Yeah, I was good. So we got a bunch of mailbag questions here. We are recording this Wednesday the 6th on the eve of the Las Vegas Summer League. Warriors do not play until Friday. So if news breaks between now and then, forgive us. Jama, who's coaching the Summer League team. Future.
Ooh.
I'm calling my shot right now. He will be a future NBA head coach and a successful one.
Future Warriors head coach, John Malala.
You know, we'll see. We'll see if Steve retires after Steph retires. I wouldn't be surprised, but who knows? That's so far
wouldn't,
away.
Wouldn't be point. A bad thing, by the way. The stuff you hear about Jama as people who cover Toronto, they love him over there. So
also, I mean, it's been covered. Worked with Wiggins, perfecting his shot, worked with Kuminga. I mean, he's a good coach. Ooh. Anyway, he just did media. And so based off the way he said it, it does not sound like Wiseman's playing Friday night and maybe not even the following game. They're trying to get his conditioning up. And then Kuminga, who just came back from the Congo, they won't say. My gut says he also doesn't play Friday. If he just flew back at 2 days ago and they don't care that much, I wouldn't be shocked if they held him out of the first one, but
okay.
It's unknown at this point. End of the day, I think we all want to see Wiseman because of how long he's missed. Like he needs to get on a court.
He is the Loch Ness monster. I know this is a story of when we were younger, but yeah, we haven't seen him. He's supposed to be, you know, full of potential and all of that. So hopefully he's healthy to play. Hopefully they're not rushing him. That's all, you know, that's all I've got, man.
Kuminga, I don't think he needs to play in summer league because he's healthy and we saw him in the season. He just needs to work, but I would like to watch him because it'll be fun to watch him in a setting where like he gets, you know, first option touches. I really want to see that. That'd be fun. He also tore down the house last year in summer league with like probably the best dunk of the entire thing. I mean, he'd just be fun to watch, but I think we all agree Wiseman's the bigger story. We just need to see him on the court, man.
Yeah, that's
no other way around that.
That's just got to see him play. Kuminga is interesting because we watch Moses Moody. I know you're going to bring him up here, but Moses Moody in the summer league setting, not the best setting for him. He's just not that type of player. He's not a pickup. Let me get the rock and do my thing player. Kuminga definitely is. At least his mentality is. So I think it's just a lot more fun to watch Kuminga. Moses Moody is like, can we get the core three guys around him so that Moses Moody can do all the glue stuff that makes him so good, right? So, yeah.
Summer League's not for the glue guys. No. Summer League is for the You know, this is why it sucks that Ryan Rollins is hurt, because he would have probably shown out a little bit of summer league. Summer league is for the guards who want to score. Jordan Poole never got a second. He never got a summer league to show out because of COVID. He would have taken off at this. I remember Josh Shelby back in the day.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that name you just threw out there. Shelby was incredible. He was supposed to be an all-star after that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, let's get to some questions here. We got some great questions on the show today. Yep. All right. So from LFC Cred Nation, people on here love talking about the most negative outcome of the season with regards to the kids not being able to contribute off the bench. But if all three of Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody all manage to make pool strides in the future, what is this team's ceiling over the next 3 to 5 years?
One pushback I have on that question is that in order to make Jordan Poole like strides in the future, it'll require the team to give them the amount of minutes that Jordan Poole got in that first 2 years of his career. And he only got those minutes because the Warriors were terrible. The Warriors, you presume, Sam, are not going to be terrible in the next couple of years. So if you extrapolate literally the minutes out, like would it take 3 years for Jonathan Kuminga, for example, to play the amount of minutes that Jordan Poole played the first couple of seasons, right? So I think that's what makes it very difficult, because a lot of what Jordan Poole, how he got better was that, dude, he was just bad when he started. He was just bad. And he played through it and he learned through it and he worked through it. And now he's very, very good. So I think that's, it's tough to do while you're trying to win basketball games.
Yeah. Just on the minutes thing, that's an interesting point. Poole played 2,300 minutes his first 2 years. Kuminga actually played about half of that in year one. So honestly, if he keeps developing, year three might be the year he pops. I mean, the thing with most players is it's usually year three, maybe year four, where you see the explosion. These guys are entering year two. Wiseman also entering year two. And in some ways, kind of still in year one when you consider the setback. So in 3 to 5 years, I think what's exciting is if Kuminga and Wiseman and Moody end up in that Jaylen Brown range. That's even probably the Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams range. And you have a 37-year-old Steph. That could wreak some havoc, because Steph could be 37, 38. He's still going to get gravity. He's still going to draw defenders to half court. He's still going to freak everyone out because of his shooting ability. But now you got kind of a more athletic cast around him to finish it. Maybe Steph isn't going to be averaging 30 points a game at that point, but maybe those guys are all contributing about 20, you know, something like that. I think that's a very optimistic best case in 3 years. They could be kind of a hyper-athletic team like the Boston Celtics, but with Steph driving the ship in maybe more of a 20 to 25 point per game role.
Yep.
And obviously that with that comes the assumption that they all learn how to play good defense by that. They all have the tools to be defenders, young players in defense. You know, sometimes it comes quick, sometimes it takes a long time, but they all have the tools. That's kind of my best case for them. But honestly, I would take any of them popping in year two.
I was going to say you aren't, asking all three to pop is really tough. And there's a relative kind of amount of pop that they're going to have. Like, for example, Moses Moody is probably more in line with a lower ceiling, but extremely high and valuable role player, right? Think like a Dorian Finney-Smith or something. And then, like you said, like Kuminga could end up a Jaylen Brown or Pascal Siakam, but he could also end up being somebody that's not very good. Same with Wiseman. So you really just, for me, you want just one of the guys between Kuminga and Wiseman to pop. And then if the other one doesn't, it doesn't. That's just how the NBA works. It's not specific to the Warriors. That's just how it goes, right? Look at every team that tanks, that tries to figure it out. Only one of those guys most likely is going to pop. So I think Moses Moody probably ends up being relatively good as a basketball player throughout his career. But of Kuminga and Wiseman, you probably want one of them. It's a big ask, Sam, to ask for both of those guys to pop. But of course, if they both do, even if you get one of those guys to pop and be a star, you probably have a championship ceiling. But again, it's all.
Well, I mean, doesn't it come back to how long can Steph stay at this level?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's all back to Steph anyway.
If you want to be honest about it, like how long can Steph maintain this level, which based on what we saw last year, I feel pretty confident at least a couple more years, maybe even longer. He might be the Tom Brady of basketball. Yeah. In which case you still have Andrew Wiggins, who is not, you know, either he unlocked something or he's going to at minimum stay at this level
what he
for the
just
next
did.
Three, 4 years, yeah. because he's not over the hill or anything. He's 27. He'll turn 28 next year. One of these guys pops with him. Now you're talking about a really athletic team around an older, but still hyper skilled and high IQ staff. So, I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see. In the short term, I have more questions, but let's take it to the next question.
Yep.
Ron Dizzle, not summer league related, but after game four pod, Andy asked Sam if that was Steph's best game ever. And Sam said he could only answer if the Dubs won the finals. What do you think now, Sam? That was Steph's best game ever. You have to consider the circumstances. That was like, you know what that reminded me of? That was like LeBron game six in 2012 going into Boston. Yep. That was like, let me go through it. That was like one of those iconic, I'm going into a hostile atmosphere and I'm going to get the win. And he had the crowd cheering for him. So yeah, that's Steph's defining, you know, he's had so many great moments, but that was his best game.
It's crazy that he has that game. Remember when LeBron did that performance, he had no championships. Steph did this with three. And I think that's part of the conversation around Steph that's been just different from every other superstar is that they were saying this stuff about Steph when he's already been a three-time champion. So to do this again, and LeBron did that at what, age 25, 26? Steph is 34.
27, but yeah.
Yeah. How do you know that off the top of your head? It's incredible. It's just one, not just his best game ever. It's one of the greatest games ever. We just watched one of the greatest games ever, Giannis, last season, game six. I mean, like that was up 3-2, right? But again, Giannis was also hurt. He had that knee injury. So this was Steph, same thing. Steph's hurt. They're going down 3-1. They lose that game. It's over. So I'm with you.
I like this question from Bobby Peru. Summer league doesn't really matter, but what would need to happen for you to consider it a big success? And then on the flip side, a big failure. You want to go first or?
I'm gonna do big failure, actually. I think if Wiseman doesn't play any of the games this summer league, that's a failure. Because that tells me that it's not talent, it's not skill, it's worse, it's physical. That tells me he's on that path to just not being able to play basketball for the rest of his career. That's a failure, Sam. To me, Rollins doesn't play, Baldwin doesn't, whatever. Moses Moody didn't look that great, fine. Kuminga goes out there, doesn't, whatever. We already saw those two kids play. I think they'll get better this season. What is a failure? If Wiseman doesn't play and it's because he's physically injured, then I think he might be cooked.
I agree with you. That's the obvious one for biggest failure, especially since he's 5-on-5 now and they say he's going to play, just getting his conditioning right. Summer league.
He said he's going to play, right?
Yeah. It's like failures if he doesn't get on the court. Now I'm going to take the success one since you took the failure one. Success, one, Wiseman plays. And what if he plays multiple games? Let's get him out there twice. Let's see him play twice. That's a success. I'm not really concerned about his performance level right now. He just needs to get some burn. I want to see Moses Moody improve as a playmaker. I don't think his role on the Warriors is going to be a playmaker. He's going to be more of the glue guy, like you said. But it is intriguing to see him make decisions on the ball, so I'd like to see that. That would be a success for me. And the final one is I think Kuminga's probably only going to play one game. I want him to show out. For me, a big success for Kuminga is he shows up and he looks like the second year player where you're like, why are you here, dude? Remember when Clay played in summer league, his second year, he had something like he was just in game six Clay mode playing against guys. He's way too good. And the Warriors sent him home to like, you don't need to be here, you know? So that's what I would consider success. And hopefully it happens.
Yep.
From Mateo, do you think we get a game where Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody, and Baldwin all play together?
No, because is Baldwin even going to play? He had that ankle injury. I just think that's a question. And with playing time too, It's just hard to play all those guys together or at the same, like at the same time, just not really a good fit. Like I would try to not play Kuminga and Wiseman at the same time, like just for fit issues. Anyway, I don't think that's that important.
Oh, I disagree with you. It's summer league. Throw them out there. I need to see what it looks like so I can figure out if there's a way to make it work or not.
Cause you're going to see that in 2026. Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think those guys will be, but yeah, why not?
Well, I don't think it's happening because I don't think Patrick Baldwin is going to play, yeah, honestly.
Right.
He's injured.
Right.
So that's it's a cop-out. Now, do we see the other three together? Maybe Sunday? Maybe Tuesday? I think there's a chance. I think it would be good for Warriors morale if all three of them just got one game together in the summer league. Let's see how it looks, you know?
My annoyance is like, here is like, dude, it's summer league. Get these guys to just play basketball, man. I get it though. Kuminga just came back and he might be good. He might be too good, all that stuff. But is it that hard, Sam? Is it that hard to just ask if Kuminga's guys play basketball? I just watched Josh Giddey play last night.
Conditioning, that guy's way too good. Whatever. You know, there's a bunch of reasons. I would like to see it, but yeah.
I'm just selfish, man. I just want to watch these kids play basketball. All right.
From Ben of Us, at Ben of Us. I truly believe that after the championship, multiple ring chasers will join Warriors this free agency. Are you concerned that basically none have joined?
That's a question for you, my friend.
I'm asking you, are you concerned yet?
Am I concerned? No. And I think part of that is because the Warriors wanted it to be that way. I think there were players that wanted to join the Warriors. I think the Warriors were looking very hard at some other veterans, but I think they made their decision, and I think the decision is more is the GP2 one. I think they always thought Otto was going to go. I think Nemanja Bjelica, they kind of tried, but I think they were okay with letting him go. I think JTA and Dealey, I think you kind of just live with those guys gone. GP2 is the real big one. That's the one that hurts. But other than that, I think there's still a couple of spots left. They're just going to get a couple of vets, so I think we have to wait. That's the bailout answer. Like, we got to wait, right, until the actual season to see what other players that they have, because something tells me that they've got another vet that they're going to sign, at least one before the season starts.
I think they need multiple, and I'm not concerned yet just because we still don't know who's getting bought out. There's going to be some buyouts. A lot of the free agent market is being held up by the Nets. Like, any way you slice it, people want to see where KD lands before making a decision. So as annoying as that all is, it just is what it is. Also, I'd like to point out guys like Bjelica didn't sign at the beginning of free agency last year. And in general, sometimes these signings go all the way to September. So while I'd like them to add some veterans already and do some stuff, I'm not concerned just yet. Like, there are guys who are sitting out there who are unsigned. So let's see how it breaks before we.
The other thing too is it's some of these veterans I think probably want more in a row than what they're going to get. I think what Otto and Belly got with the Warriors, they didn't ask for 30 plus minutes a game. Like, that wasn't their thing. I think they were content being bench guys and being able to play a role. But I think some of the veterans that I think Warriors fans, I think you and I too, are kind of like, well, they were never going to get like a high usage role player. I like think TJ Warren, right? Like, I don't know if they were ever in love with the TJ Warren, because TJ Warren probably wants to play 28 to 32 minutes a game.
And he wants 15 shots.
Yeah. I was going to say, he probably wants a bunch of shots. So I just, look, he's cool. I think he's a good player. It's probably a good fit with the Warriors, but I just think those aren't really going to happen. You probably want someone more like a Bjelica. But again, like, all of that is earmarked to, we just, like we've been talking about, like, they're just going to have to play Mooney and Kuminga. I don't know what else you're supposed to do. You can't hide forever. Those kids are going to have to play. Although Wiseman's trying to hide forever.
I want to point out Iguodala hasn't even made a decision on next year. Guys like Blake Griffin are undecided. Carmelo Anthony, if that's your cup of tea, is undecided. I don't really think they need a score.
No,
I think they just need glue guys, honestly.
I agree.
Markieff Morris, no decision. He could fit into an auto type, you know, role. LaMarcus Aldridge, undecided. Wancho, undecided. As you can see, I want them to add a front court player.
Yeah.
My point is, a lot of these guys tend to take a few weeks, because at this point, they're looking at vet minimums from everyone. It's not like that offer is going away anytime soon. So it's a question of how much time they want to wait on it.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not all that is a roundabout way of saying not time to get concerned yet.
The only concern is they lost GP2. All right, let's keep it moving. What we got next?
I really think Otto is the bigger deal.
You do not think that. You've gone full hipster. You think losing Otto is more important than losing GP2?
I think they have one healthy big man, and Otto played center next to Draymond a lot last year. I think they need not a traditional big, but a Warriors big, which is really like kind of like a 3-4. You know what I'm saying? They need a bigger wing who will play big for them at this point. That's where I'm concerned, because I'm looking at this roster, and whether you're high on Wiseman or you're not, we can't trust him to stay healthy. Sorry, it's the truth. Looney just put together an Iron Man season. What happens if he misses a month? You know, Draymond missed half of last year. Like, at some point, they need to add a body who can play the four or the five. They can't just throw Kuminga and Moses Moody at center. I mean, they might, but that's...
Yeah, those guys are going to get hurt if they do.
Maybe it's not that Otto was more important than GP2. It's just like a positional need thing. I'm sitting here going, like, can we sign someone over 6'9", you know, over 6'8", that type of thing.
Yeah.
So
I think GP2 is more important to winning, but your point is taken. And I think that's why they'll sign a big. So,
yeah, a Warrior big. I mean, you guys all know what we're talking about.
Six.
Like, yeah, we're not talking about adding Enes Kanter. Sorry, Enes Freedom.
God damn, Hassan Whiteside. Please, God, if they sign Hassan, I will stop being a Warriors fan. If they sign Hassan Whiteside.
Then
I mean, geez.
Yeah, hey, I will say at least last year they acknowledged the type of players that work in their system. So it would be hilarious if they came back with Whiteside. Yeah.
Like, that's why Dante DiVincenzo is on the team. That's why they spent damn near the taxpayer mid-level to get him. He's a good Warrior system type of player. Now, whether he's going to be good or not is a question, but in theory, right? He's that type of player for the Warriors. Yeah.
Either way, just get me big man depth. I don't need a superstar. Hopefully Wiseman ends up superseding who this guy is anyway. But I would like to have a body so we don't get into January and Wiseman and Looney are both injured and we're watching Moses Moody at center. You know what I mean?
Some of the stuff you and I were talking about last season about getting a big man was always about the regular season. Like, it's not about the postseason. We know that in the postseason, those bigs are going to be useless. But in the regular season, you got to get through 82 games. You need a big to get through 82 games. So, with you.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, for Mikus, do we expect Wiggins to garner more media attention, maybe all defense consideration and all-star status again, based on new media perception of him after the finals run and how he performed? Do we expect that Wiggs to carry over consistently to the regular season?
I don't know if there's going to... So yes, to answer the first question, yes, I think he is going to get a lot more media attention. Maybe not an all-star, Sam, but just more... I think a lot of the conversation around him the last few years is about kind of quote-unquote being let down or a bust when he was in Minnesota and like, hey, he's better now, but... and it's kind of a joke all-star. I think all that's gone out the window. I think now it's like, hey, this guy is legitimate two-way star in the NBA. But the second question, do we expect Wiggs to carry over consistently? I don't know. I feel like the amount of energy exerted in that playoff run, I don't think you can do that all the time in the regular season the way he was playing. So, and that's fine. To me, that's fine. But he's also in a contract year. So maybe he averages 24 points on efficient shooting. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think the scoring's going up just because there's a lot of mouths to feed. But I'm
Jordan
calling
Poole's
my
not allowing that to happen.
I'm calling my shots. He's making all defense this year. I think what people saw him do in the playoffs last year is going to be fresh in people's minds. And so no matter what anyone says, so much of the all defensive team is perception, because like there's like 12 all defense team worthy players every year. And like who makes the team is largely perception based, you know? So I think Wiggs is going to end up with an all defensive consideration this year. And I'm telling you, he's going to make one of those two teams. All-star, I would not be surprised. Bam Bam could get out there. I would not be surprised if Clay and Wiggins made all-star next year on the back of fervent Warrior fan vote, just to really annoy everyone when they see like Luka have to come off the bench or something. In the All-Star game, or LeBron off the bench. But like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's going to be legitimate. And I do agree with the overall sentiment that Mikus is saying. Now that everyone saw him do it on the biggest stage, no one's going to be critical of him if he's playing with, let's just say, like B-minus effort in December.
No,
like
no.
You and I are going to be like, whatever. You know, last year I was just like, dude, you're not, you haven't proven yourself that you can like flip the switch. So what are we doing here? You know, now I know that he can, I'm a little less concerned if he goes through like a stretch where he's not rebounding the ball.
Yeah, no, with you. There is also probably another gear offensively that he could get to. It goes, keep in mind playoffs, he didn't shoot very well. He didn't. So there might be, maybe improves there, but
yeah, I think that's also just kind of a playoff thing. A lot of dudes shoot high 30s, 40% in the regular season. Aren't going to shoot that against like the Celtics hard closeouts. You know what I mean?
He missed a lot of open ones. I don't want to relitigate that. That's not important.
You're right.
Anymore,
but I mean, I feel like if you look at the numbers, everyone shoots worse in the playoffs. Shocker. Better defenses, you know?
Yeah.
Except for Steph.
Except for Steph.
No, but that's actually part of the reason Steph and Clay are who they are. There's not a huge variance in their playoff and regular season performance. Like Steph's just as likely to have a random 6-for-20 shooting game against Orlando as he is against the Boston Celtics in the finals. Like it's not really the defense. It's just kind of like, well, I'm going to have one of these every five or so games.
Nope. And the Warriors won it anyway, because of Andrew Wiggins, 27 points. Never forget.
All right, so from Looney Stan account, is it worth trading KD to get Wiseman off the roster? He's going to tank whatever lineup he's in, and we're much better when he didn't play the last 2 years. He needs one good summer league game instead of that. All right. I get it. You know, you're standing for your guy Looney. You know, all I'm going to say is I think this is Steve Kerr's burner. Because who is the biggest Looney Stan you know? Steve Kerr.
Yep.
I'm not. If your sentiment is like you're worried that Wiseman's gonna they're going to play Wiseman when he doesn't deserve it. I don't buy that Steve Kerr is going to play him over Looney in games that matters if he's not ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steve's going to ride his guys he trusts. We know he trusts Looney. Looney's in the inner circle. So
he's in the inner circle. You know how good Kevon Looney is defensively in big time situations. Like, I bet you Steve Kerr wouldn't play DeAndre Ayton over him in those situations. That is how good Kevon Looney is. So this is not a Wiseman issue. This is a, how can we get a better big than Looney? Even Looney was better than Draymond Green in specific situations in the NBA finals. That's just fact. So at least for the Warriors. So it's a Wiseman issue. It's more of a, can we get guys, like you said, to get minutes? And as for trading for KD, we talked about it. I mean, yeah, we talked about it.
I want it to happen purely to watch the online meltdown. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it would be a trolling holiday.
Yeah.
but it's not happening. So yeah.
You know, I'm in for it. So I think it would be hilarious.
But. Andy in Oakland, given Gee's surprise flashes and recent investment in our development staff, would you prioritize Gee being with the big club in some capacity instead of staying in Brazil? You want me to take this real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. One, I don't think he's staying in Brazil. I think he's going to be on the G League team. Two, I don't think, how many roster spots are they giving to young guys? By the way, Gee looks like he has incredible feel and good size.
Yes, he does.
Watching his jump shot, just first thing that stands out to me is, like, going to need to speed that up for against the NBA. You know, he's going to have to get a little better with
that. He's got work to do, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the bigger question is, how many guys are you going to keep on the roster under the age of 21? I think in some ways, while I think he could absolutely be a Warriors player, it makes sense to stash him. That's my overall opinion there.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the two-way stuff, I think you probably won't find out what's going to happen with the two-way stuff until later on in training camp, I think, right? Like, they've got Lester, Quiñones.
Yeah, they named Lester. I guess the question, I think Weatherspoon's going to end up making the roster.
That's the other one. Is Weatherspoon, who's 25, is he going to make it? And then Ryan Rollins, is he going to be on the roster? They say most likely, but, you know,
or maybe. Or is he a two-way?
Two-way, yeah. Exactly. So.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. I think you're right. They're probably not going to make a decision tomorrow or anything. What two players from the Summer League squad from Rue did you want to see on a two-way, if any? Since we know Quiñones is on one, I'm going to say let's wait and see because no one is really pop. Like, Jessup just hasn't popped.
No, like, he's been bad.
I no one else on the Summer League team has popped yet, but, like, we'll see. Let's see how it goes with Vegas. Maybe someone does.
I'll throw a name out for you because this is good timing, but Matt McClung is playing. I don't know if you can. I doubt it. I'm just saying shit. But do you know that Matt McClung is playing for the Warriors tonight? Or he will be playing on the Warriors Summer League team? I just saw that. I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought he was on the Lakers.
I know. So I'm sure he's still going to be on the Lakers. But I just think it's funny because Rollins is hurt.
I'm seeing it. Wow, this is breaking news. Breaking.
I think they just picked him up.
Yeah, they did just pick him up. Like, that's not a, you know. I'm intrigued. He can play. I don't know if he's an NBA player.
So I don't know the rules there, though, Sam. Like, I don't know the rules. Like, did they pick him up just for the Summer League? Because, like, it's whatever. It doesn't matter.
They haven't released the terms, but they could easily have done some sort of non-guarantee Section 10. Okay. It's too early to tell at this point.
Okay. So, but I'm with you. Other than that, there's really nobody else that's really popped on the team. I watched Bouye for the USF kid yesterday play, and I was like, damn, would have been nice if the Warriors had got him. So anyway, I love that kid.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's do this one. Hayden's asking, what's one area of improvement you'd like to see for each of Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody? So one skill, one thing you want each of them to improve in. One thing you want to see in Summer League. I like this question. Yeah. I got one for every one of them.
Okay, okay. You want to go first?
Yeah. Okay, let's just go name by name. Let's start with Wiseman. One area of development you'd like to see. One, I just want to see him on the court, but I want to see him play with aggression. I want to see physical dominance. Summer League big men are generally not good. Like, aside from the lottery picks, most of these guys are not going to make an NBA roster. I want to see him physically dominate.
I mean, that shit, Sam, that's a good one. Since I can't choose that one, and I've been saying this for the past couple of years, defensive awareness is probably the one that's the biggest thing that'll keep him on the floor. Actually, it's not the shooting, it's not the dribbling, it's not the passing, it's not the, hey, I'm 7'3" KD. Like, it's not the stuff that'll keep him on the floor. It's, can he play defense? Because if he can, he's going to have a very long NBA career, regardless of what he does on the offensive end. Because worst comes to worst on the offensive end, he's just a Rudy Gobert rim runner. But if he can play defense, he can play on the Warriors, maybe not this season, but the next 10 seasons. So, and what that means, really, he was really bad, which is expected of everyone. Kuminga, same thing, and even Moody, is he was just really bad in terms of help defense awareness and figuring out off ball where to be, especially someone like him, because he's a big man, right? So you would see a bunch of guys just go right by him, even when he had to step on those guys. Just, he just didn't know where to be. And so that's probably the biggest thing for me, is defense for him. So can we see incremental improvements there? I'm not asking him to be Rudy Gobert, but what are the improvements?
Okay. Kuminga, handle. I think the handle will be the determining skill in whether he's a superstar, whether he's a star or a role player. He's got freak athleticism. We know he can finish with the best of them. He's showing he can hit an open jumper, but the handle is going to open up his game.
Yeah, I think you're looking at it like more long term. I'm looking at short term, so I'll go with, again, defense, but specifically rebounding. He is quite possibly the most athletic player on the team. I still think it's Wiggins. And what did Wiggins do all postseason? He averaged 16 rebounds a game, right? So if Kuminga can turn that switch on and he can start being a beast offensively and defensively, really what made Wiggins so great was rebounding on both ends. Like, it was those big rebounds in game four.
And crashing the offensive glass was really impressive. Yeah.
Yep. So if Kuminga, because he's so athletic, like, sometimes you don't even need to box out. Like, I wouldn't know anything about that, Sam. But for someone like him, you're like, you don't need to box out. He can just be a monster. Your shot might be off. You might be turning the ball over. But if you're a monster on the glass, you're going to be a playable. You're going to be able to play basketball on the Warriors right away.
Yeah. For Moody, I'm going to go with playmaking. I think he's showing signs that he could be someone you can use as a hub in the offense. To make decisions, very smart player. I want to see how that improves. I want to see if he can run a pick and roll, if he can set other players up. He shows signs of it, and I'm just curious.
Yeah, real shocker. I go defense again. I think his help defense is pretty good. I think he knows where to be. I think he's got great feel for the game, better than the other two guys. But I think he's slow. And so I think he's kind of getting by on anticipation. Looked like he got a little bigger. So can he guard guys, like you always say, point of attack? I don't know. He's still young. So really, truly, you don't know. But I always talk about Danny Green. Dude, Danny Green was an elite defender on and off the ball. So if Moody's going to get there, he's going to have to be an elite defender on the ball, especially to survive in the NBA. Can he do that? You know, we'll see.
Yeah. From GW, are you concerned with too many veterans leaving and being replaced with young kids? I think we kind of touched on this already.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. I want to see what the final roster is before that, but like, yeah, they need to add a couple vets.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Like, not even like they need to play 25 minute vets. It's just like, hey, they just need vets.
Iguodala and a vet who will play 4-5 for them alone would probably do the trick.
Yes.
But yeah,
yes.
It's like do a little of that. Last question.
Okay.
Any truth to the rumor Big Jim grew 2 inches and added 45 pounds of muscle since being drafted?
I can't tell if this is a joke question.
I haven't heard this, honestly. He was pretty huge the first time I saw him, and he's still pretty damn tall. I feel like when you're that tall, I can't even tell if you add an inch. He has added muscle. I don't know if it's 45 pounds, but
yeah, I have no idea, but I'm more worried about staying healthy. Is adding 45 pounds of muscle when you have a knee injury that's kept you out 16 months a good thing? I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor, but you know, we'll see.
All right, we'll be out of here. I'll be back live from Vegas, giving you some of the sights and sounds of Summer League. All right, guys.